Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
Today, guys, this continues in our series on offer structuring on an eightplex. And if you haven't caught our last episodes, go and do that. The first two was me just making offers on this property. One of them, my exit strategy would be to retail each of these units because they're a set of townhomes all in a row. And they all have separate parcel numbers. So you could buy it on terms and then sell off each unit for a property or for a profit, sell each property for a profit. And that was kind of my thought process when Jeff initially presented me with the numbers. And then our second offer was like $640 for a purchase price with $40,000 down at a 3% interest rate for, a 2-year period. We'd be looking to wholesale that for a $32K wholesale fee. And that would give our landlord or our end buyer somewhere around 11% cash on cash return if they were, out of their pocket, I think $72K. So that's where we went with that last episode. And then on this episode, Jeff's going to go over the offer that he made that was accepted by the seller. And we're going to talk about that.
Let me quickly run through the details of this property. If you've listened to our last two, you could almost do it yourself by this point. Have a seller with an eightplex, their townhome style properties. There are 8 of them. They're all on different tax ID numbers. They could be sold separately. Seller's asking for $649 for all of them. He does not owe anything. They're 2-bedroom, 1.5 baths. He prefers cash or short-term financing, 2 years or less. The current rents are $5,150. Most of them are rented for $650 a month. 2 are rented for $625. They're separate meters. Tenants pay electric and water. We don't know what the owner may pay, in terms of trash or sewer. Market rents are $750 to $800 a month per unit. Most of the tenants have been there long term, 7+ years, built in the 81. Here are expenses that we know. Taxes are about $6,000. Insurance is $3,800. Landscaping is $840. These are all per year. And then we kind of estimated trash for $3,000, management for $4,800, and repairs and or maintenance for $3,000, for a total of $23,240 as our expenses. If you multiply our $5,150 in rents, I have no idea what you get, but our NOI is about $38,568. So yeah. $61,800 minus $23,240 is $38,560, which is our NOI. Which is about a 6% cap rate.
Yeah.
All right. So what I want to do is I want to pick up on where we've kind of already left off. What I'd like to do is exactly what we did together, which is build out what I think the expenses will run, even if I have to estimate what some of them are, which we did.
Yes.
And now keep in mind, if you look at what these expenses are running compared to the gross rents, you're probably at like 44-45% expense ratio, and that's without any vacancy. That seems super high to me. And especially when, you know, there's separate utilities, that might be because that they're all on their own tax ID number, so you know, you're paying taxes on each one. But I'd want to verify these expenses, right? So
absolutely.
Granted, you know, he does his own management. We've talked about that, you know, from pictures that I've seen. I mean, these units are clean. They're very nice. He's done a very good job upkeep with them. But that's one of the first things I'm looking at is what are the expenses running, you know, in relation to what the income is. And they're high. So what I'm going to do is, so we identified, we worked backwards. We created all these expenses. We figured out our NOI. We figured out what that is per month. And that is the amount of money I have to divvy up between my seller that I can offer him on debt and my buyer or myself as cash flow.
Okay. Right.
So we had 3,200. Now I'll tell you, when I figured this out, I did not do, we were almost identical on management and trash, but I was a little less on repairs. So when I figured this out, my expenses were $1,800 less. But as I worked through it with you, I felt like, you know what? I think I'd rather go with the higher one on this. I mean, it's basically $50 a door per month. And I think that's a fair estimate.
Yeah. Okay.
So I thought I was getting a little more cash flow when I made these offers.
Okay.
All right. So that's right away what I'm going to do is I'm going to figure out, hey, I got $3,214 to work with. How can I divvy up this to make it all work?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I want the same goals that you wanted, which is I want to be able to offer enough money to my buyer to make them want to buy a good enough cash on cash return. At the same time, I realized the pro forma, and you know, this pro forma is not even about going in and taking care of any deferred maintenance.
Right.
This is literally about, hey, I'm going to give people 30-day notices of rent increases and, you know, see which ones stay there. So I don't care if I absolutely get to that 12% cash on cash return. I just want to get close because I can then justify that you're going to, you know, far exceed your cash on cash return, you know, within 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So seller, you know, one of the things that I kept asking you is, so the seller asked for 2 years. Okay. There's only one offer that I can think of that I would only want 2 years for. And the reason for it is that I already know this seller is asking basically too much for this property, right? Uh-huh. We're talking about a 6% cap rate as is, and it's not really his cap rate because he's managing it. So, you know, in his mind, he's getting a much better return on investment, but I have to look at it that someone's going to put management in place, and that's lowering the cap rate. So I know that, hey, an eightplex should have property management in place. You know, if this was a fourplex, I'd say, yeah, you know, you could probably figure something out. But eightplex, you should. And so at that cap rate, I find he's asking too much.
Yeah.
And I already know this, okay? So 2-year term is only one offer for me, and that is, you know, my short-term finance offer where, you know, someone can buy this, go in, raise all the rents, turn around, refinance it, pull their money back out of it. That's it. So if someone wants 2 years, most likely that's the only offer I can present them confidently.
Okay.
Although I do like 3 years quite a bit, and I do it on a normal basis. But it is my job to educate this seller, and this seller wants out of the business. He's owned this property 20 years. He's got a tax consequence coming to him. What I want to do is point out that the longer the term that you stay in this, the less, you pay in taxes, the more you're able to spread it out over time, the more money you continue to make from this property. So, I'm almost going to, I didn't disregard it, but I'm not going to stay within that 2 year time frame. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So I already told you, I think that he's on the high side. So I'm going to come as close as I can to offering him what he wants, but yeah, I got to remember my normal exit strategy is to wholesale. And on a property like this, I want to be able to make $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. Okay.
Right.
So I chose 645. Why? Because it's close to 649. that's really the only thing that I can tell you. Could I have offered 640? Yep, I could have. Could I have even come down to 635? Yeah. But I know I'm going to make multiple offers, so I'm going to try to create one that's super close to what he's asking.
Okay, 645.
Okay, so just like you did, you had to figure out what's going to be the down payment. Okay, now I'm going to treat income property a little differently than I am single family homes that we're trying to put an owner-occupant in. Owner-occupant, I'm expecting to get 10% back from them.
Yeah.
On a landlord kind of deal, they've got to put down 20% or more. So yeah. I'm going to go in probably, unless I have some kind of information, this seller may not need this money up front. I probably should have had one that's had, $30,000 down and, better price, better interest, better whatever, longer term kind of thing, because he'd make a lot more money, and that's good for me. Uh-huh. But I did not have that information, so I'm thinking, where can I still make my money where it will still make sense to the seller? And typically, that's around that 10% range.
Yeah,
maybe a little less, maybe a little more, but in that 10% range. So I came with 60,000. Okay. So I have a purchase price of 645. And a down payment of 60. Okay, here's where I know it'll get a little confusing for people. You don't absolutely have to understand this, but we've covered it 30, 40, 50 times in previous episodes. This is my proprietary way of making an offer, okay? And it is what I call my hybrid offer. And it has to do with interest. And really all you have to do is think about it's kind of in between of offering principal only and an amortized, loan. What it is I usually offer around 2.5% interest, but it can be any amount. Okay. It does not need to be that. And what you're going to do is you're going to just, let's say you were getting a hard money loan on this for 2.5% interest. Wouldn't that be great? But the amount I'm financing here, the amount that I'm asking the seller to finance is 585.
Yeah.
645 minus 60,000 is 585.
Yeah.
Okay. At 2.5% interest. So if I take 585 times 0.025, that's 14,625. That's per year. Okay. If I divide it by 12, I'm paying $1,200 a month in interest, $1,218.75 in interest, okay? So if I just offered him 2.5% interest only, my payment would be $1,218. Okay. Make sense?
Yep.
I'm going to offer him more than that. So whatever I offer him more than that will go toward principal. Okay. Mm-hmm. Remember, I already said, I think he's asking too much. So I'm trying to pay him his asking price or close to it. I want there to be rapid principal pay down, especially if he wants it to be a shorter term. I need it to pay down quicker. Okay. The only two ways I know how to do that is offer something like this or offer principal only payments.
Okay? Yeah.
And I could have come in and said, hey, I'll pay you instead of 645, I'll pay you 675 and I'll pay you $2,500 a month principal only for 3 years.
Yeah.
That'll work too. Yep, I just offer a higher price. Right. This one is they're actually getting some interest, like $1,218 per month. Over 3 years, they're making another $42,000 or so, something like that.
Yeah, 43,870.
Something like that, right? Something.
Yeah.
Okay, so the reason that I like doing it this way, as it, even if you did it as principal only, then you get to determine what that payment is. I don't have to calculate the payment. I get to determine what it is. So we already decided that we had $3,214 to work with.
Yeah.
Right? So what I decided is I don't want any more money going to the seller than $2,600 a month, which was super close to what you ended up with, right?
Yes.
You first had 26, I think, and then 25 and some change.
Yeah.
Okay. So remember, I thought that I had another $150 because I estimated my expenses probably a little low.
Yeah.
So I actually thought I had a little more to work with, but that's what I wanted to create. So I thought it was going to be about a $750 a month cash flow to my buyer. And if you look at that, that's $9,000 over 12 months divided by, let's say, 100. $60,000 down payment plus 40 to me. That's a 9% cash on cash return, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Not quite where I want them to be, but are they getting in for less than 20% down?
Yes.
Are they, do they have like a ridiculously good terms?
Yes.
At the end of 3 years, so 36 months, they owe $533,418. Will they be able to refinance if they get these rents up to market value? Or it's only worth the $100,000 per unit that we thought. Will they be able to refinance, pull all their money at $800,000? Let's say that they can finance 75%.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that would be $200,000. So that would be $600,000.
Yeah.
Could they refinance and pull even a decent portion of their $100,000 that they have in it?
Yeah, they could.
They could end up with, you know, $30,000-$40,000 in this deal.
Yeah.
Okay. So all of these things go into play. So maybe my cash on cash isn't as high as I would like it. And I could have modified it just the same way that we did. And to be honest, all I would have done is I would have come in at $2,500 and I may have lowered my down payment by, you know, $5,000, $7,000, something like that. And I probably would have been right where I needed to be.
Yeah.
Okay. So I chose $2,600 a month payment, principal and interest. Okay. Obviously, you know, the buyer's going to pay the taxes and insurance. We've already calculated all of that. The buyer is going to get almost $52,000 principal pay down in 3 years.
Yeah.
That's significant. If you've ever gotten a loan and it's amortized over 30 years, the vast majority of your payment when you start goes toward interest. A very small amount goes toward principal, and it grows each and every month. When you're like 10, 15 plus years into a loan, now you're starting to see more principal pay down. Here, what I've done is I want it over 3 years. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So one of the reasons I like to offer this, so I told you I could have just offered 675 and just did principal only or something like that. But now I get to tell this seller, hey, you're going to net, okay, because there's no underlying loan. This is all the money you're going to get, and this is how you figure it out. I'm going to pay this seller $2,600 a month for the next 36 months, okay, whatever that equals, plus the $60,000 that I'm giving as a down payment, plus the balloon payment, $533,418 at the end of 3 years. That total equals $687,018. So the seller is actually making another $37,000-$38,000 from what they're asking. Not a tremendous amount, but it's going to provide him with some tax deferment. He's going to make an extra $38,000-$39,000 on it, help offset some of those taxes, and he's maintaining a good cash flow. He's getting a decent down payment, and Georgia has a super quick foreclosure law. So we can actually do this as trustee to note, where the deed will transfer, title will transfer, because the foreclosures are like an eviction in Georgia. They're like 30, 45 days. Okay. And by the way, payments won't begin for 60 days. So we get to collect a couple of months worth of rents before we have to start making a payment.
Okay.
So our cash on cash returns, not quite as high, mostly because I modified our expenses a bit, but I still think that I will get away with, if I want to wholesale this, I will make $40,000. I don't know if I want to. This is the offer that's been verbally accepted. We're just waiting for the signed contract. I think I may want to just buy it and raise my rents myself and then go sell this on terms. So not sell them off individually, although I could. Sell them all off completely on terms. And but now at like $800,000.
Yeah.
$850,000. And I can still leave a good enough cash flow, and I'm going to recoup. I'll make $150,000. I wouldn't do it for less than, you know, $100,000 down. But I'm thinking more like $125,000. So I'd already make $65,000 the next few months up front. I'm going to make a bunch of money cash flow each month, and I'm going to have a big equity position down the road.
Yeah.
And the reason I would do it is because Georgia's got good foreclosure laws, and I can get this property back very quickly if need be.
And you're
I could look at doing
all the expenses.
What's that?
I said, and your down payment would cover all those expenses.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I always look at if I want to stay in the middle is I want my buyer to be able to not only cover any money that I'm out of pocket, I'd like it to pay me some upfront money. And yeah, because I have people that I have to pay on my team and they don't want to wait. So I want to make some money up front. So what do you think about that?
I love it.
So you were along the same lines.
Yeah, I was kind of getting close. And, you know, it's funny. I never think, I already know that you always do your hybrid offer, your hybrid interest. Uh-huh. And I never thought to even try that. But I've been trying to think of in terms of steps, and I want to go over this with you, of the steps that you go through, Jeff, when you create these offers. So what I've written down here, step one, figure out net operating income, gross rents minus expenses, right?
Even before that, make sure that you go through the expenses and estimate what expenses you don't have. So take the expenses that you do have, make sure that you add in what you believe to be additional expenses.
Yeah.
Because in this case, you wouldn't have had trash management or repairs, which would have thrown your numbers way off.
Yeah. Yeah. Add up all expenses. Yep. Okay. So determine net operating income. Number two, determine exit strategy. Who can you sell to? An owner occupant, a landlord? Can you hotel it? Right.
I'm going to look at, you know, what are, do I have any equity? Do I have any space?
Cash flow.
Yeah. You know, what kind of repairs are needed? Where is it? You know, the location, the condition, obviously. I'm going to look at all of those things, but I'm a wholesaler right now. Okay. And I say that because I may not be a wholesaler next year. I may be more of a buyer next year. But right now I'm still a wholesaler. So yeah. I still look at things always as a wholesale type situation. Now, I know that if there's ways for me to stay in the middle, that makes sense, I'll look at that. If it made sense to wholesale it or to retail it, I would look at that. There's only so many potential exit strategies, right?
Yeah.
Not selling this to an owner occupant. I could look at, you know, dividing them up separately. And basically what I came up with that was, they need to be worth more than 100 for me to want to do that. And I don't know, they might be, I haven't looked into that yet. What I know is that I've got enough exits that I can make something work here. Now I need to get an offer accepted.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then you want to determine your own payment, what you can pay for it a month.
Well, I don't need to determine my own payment, but it certainly allows me some flexibility. And when we do next episode, where I'll tell you what were my other offers, you'll see that there's typically a pattern. And so this hybrid allows me to be flexible with that payment. The only way that you were able to be flexible on your payment was you either had to reduce or increase the price or the interest rate, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You were on a 30-year term, so you couldn't even really modify that. I don't have to change all that. I can leave it the way it is. Now, I will give something up here, though. You got to know, I'm trying to find the balance that makes the most amount of sense to me in terms of the principal pay down, because I want that to pay down. The same time, I want to try to get the best cash flow. They are opposing one another, right?
Yes.
You know, if I go with a lower payment, I get less principal pay down. If I go with a higher payment, I get less cash flow.
Right.
So I'm trying to find that balance.
Okay. All right. Well, should we wrap it up here then, Jeff?
Yep.
Cool. Love it. Okay, guys. Well, again, I hope that you're able to follow along with your calculator. And if you're not and you want to get the most value out of these episodes, go back, re-listen to them and follow along with your financial calculator. And if you don't know how to use one, then you need to Google it or watch YouTube videos.
We should do a review on a calculator course.
Yeah.
I think I will. I'll put that down. We'll do that as a future episode.
Right. Okay. Well, guys, Yeah, again, so go learn how to do that, because if you don't know how to use a financial calculator, none of this is going to make sense to you.
You're having a hard time.
Yeah, so it's just going to sound like mumble jumble, because you can't come up with creative financing offers without using a financial calculator. So anyway, all right, let's wrap it up here. Guys, you can find all of our episodes at thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. We're on Facebook at Creative Financing Podcast and Instagram. Right now we do have the Creative Financing Academy. This is an online course. It's a visual course where you can actually follow along and practice with Jeff and myself doing these kind of offers, you know, offer structuring. And if you're interested in getting that, this course specifically focuses on creative financing and coming up and structuring offers, really. And it's a lot of practice around that. Give us a call on our hotline, 877-409-8090. Again, 877-409-8090. You can also text CFP to that number for a video, for, you know, a special access to a video that will give you a taste of what the course is about. So do that if you don't have that already. That's kind of a no-brainer. We say that on every episode that we have. So go get that first, and you can follow along with Jeff as he kind of walks you through the steps that he takes to create these offers on that video, and find out if it's something for you. Lastly, Jeff has an apprenticeship program. He's looking to work with people across the nation, and it's a earn while you learn program. So if you're interested in that, it focuses on wholesaling, not creative financing, though there is a creative financing aspect, but it's more for, you know, learning how to generate leads and then making offers, following up on those leads, putting deals under contract. So reach out on our hotline and ask specifically about the apprenticeship program, and Jeff will get back with you personally. Now, Jeff, is there anything I missed?
Only thing I would tell you is that we just had one of our apprentices graduate. He's one of our youngest ones, 23, 24 years old, and actually got serious about stuff in February. Quit his job over the summer, just did like 3-4 deals in maybe a 5-6 week period of time on his own. Probably made more money than on those 3-4 deals than he makes in 6-8 months at his job, and he's well on his way. So the goal really is to help people get to whatever point they want in our program. So, but whether it's to supplement their income, to quit their job and do this full time. And I know people will say, well, why would you want to train your competition? I would tell you that, you know, he comes across leads he still doesn't know what to do with, and he brings them to us. We worked together on some stuff while he was in our program. We're creating relationships. One of my former apprentices, we just did a deal together. He hasn't been part of my program for 3 years. A lead that he didn't want to deal with that we just made $30,000 on. So,
wow.
So it's that relationship building. That's why. Yeah. So,
awesome.
We enjoy working with people, and, we had a goal to help 25 people get to where they wanted to be by the end of the year. And, we still have some time to make that happen.
Cool. So if you guys want to be one of those persons, if you want to be one of those people, reach out to the hotline. Hey guys, till next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.